How's everybody doing? I hope everybody's doing swell. I got a lot to get to today. It is Wednesday. How is it? Let me check. What is it, the 20th? I think it's the 20th. My phone is just brutally broke. Yeah, it's the 20th. I never know the date. Because you know what happens when you get old like me? The days just bleed into each other. And they just, it's just one big day. All right. Stock market down 466 points, 468 points now. I have a couple friends that I know are freaking. Okay, we're at 470 right now, 471 right now. 472 right now. Oh, man. We're at 15,542. Yeah, I have some friends that are starting to freak. I got one in particular that basically lives. He lives off his portfolio. I kid you not. He basically lives on margin on his portfolio. He has got hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of stock that he purchased when the market was in the crap house years ago. Years ago. I think when we were at like 10,000. I mean, I know we were worse. I think 7. But about 10,000, he jumped in. So when that market was at 18,000, he was just, you know, living the high life. But as it's been pulling back, when I would talk to him, he'd be getting a little nervous. And here we are, possibly. I don't think it'll happen today. I don't think we'll see a 1,000-point drop. But we're definitely getting to the point where we could see the market hit 14,000. And that's pretty big, especially for people like my friend who were living high in the hog when it was 18,000. So keep you posted on that. That's big. It's big. And of course, crude oil is about $27 a barrel. Man, I remember when oil was about $140 a barrel. And the oil's only going to keep getting cheaper. You realize, you know, the oil's only going to keep getting cheaper. With us giving Iran all that money, and more importantly, lifting those sanctions, they're getting ready to unleash their oil supply. They're getting ready to unleash their oil supply, and they got a ton of it. A ton of it. Remember, they haven't been part of the international community for how many years? 30? 35 years? So they've been stockpiling oil. So they're getting ready to unleash all of their oil into the markets. Imagine, what was it, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, there was talk that we were going to run out of oil. Oh, no, we're going to run out of oil. We're going to run out of oil. There's going to be no more oil. Oh, no. We use so much oil. We're going to run out of it. Oh, no. Oh, no. And then, of course, you get a little fracking. You get better mileage with cars. And now we're complaining that we have too much oil. Too much oil. We're destroying our oil business. We're losing hundreds of thousands of jobs. Oh, Jesus. It's like you can't win. You can't win. We're losing hundreds of thousands of jobs because the gasoline companies and the oil companies and everybody attached with that industry are laying people off because they have too much. Too much. What did they say? Too much of a good thing. Too much. Too much oil. Oh, man. Okay. Oh, yeah, too much oil. What a nightmare. Seriously, what a nightmare. And I'll tell you, the election's a while away, but the primaries, as you know, are 18 days now, 19 days. I think you're talking about 18, 19 days. You have a market that could possibly be in turmoil. You always got to be careful when you're talking about the stock market, like I explained before. When you have these massive sell-offs, you don't know if it's legitimate fear. So you have, grandparents and parents and young people, individuals that are panicking, pulling their money from the stock market. When I say young people, maybe a young day trader or Scott trader style person, and they're in their late 20s and they dabble with their savings, whatever. But you don't know if it's people like that are starting to panic, so they pull their money from the stock market because they don't want to see their savings, or they don't want to see the retirement. They don't want to see it gone. Or if it's just big investors looking to score. Like I explained before, if you have money to play with, like I used to many, many, many years ago, I loved when the market did this, because that's when you jump in. That's when strong companies have downswings, not because of anything they're doing, but because of the sell-offs. So you get a company at $20, $25 a share, and all of a sudden they're down 6 or 7 points because they feel the effects of a huge market sell-offs. And that's when you jump in, because eventually in a week or so, the market goes back up and you just picked up a quick 6, 7, 8 points. And maybe you score 5, 6, 7 grand. So you don't know if this is just investors looking to make a score. Because a lot of people will jump in and buy stocks that are strong and they're never going anywhere. You know, Apple is never going to go anywhere. Companies like that aren't going anywhere. This isn't like the 90s with the tech bubble and global crossings and, stuff like that. Oh, man. So we'll see. Again, Is it just a sell-off to make a score, or is it real? But if it's real, and this type of uncertainty lasts, it's going to be huge come primaries, because out of Ted Cruz and Chris Christie, you look to one person. You look to one person that can handle an economy that is in decline, stock markets that are in decline, and that would be the businessman, Donald Trump. This helped Donald Trump. Now, again, who the hell knows what's going to happen come the election? We could be back up to 18,000, or we could be down to 10,000. We could see what happened during the waning days, waning months of the Bush presidency. We could see that repeat itself with the Obama presidency. What happens if there's 5 months of bad news in the business sector? Again, who does that help? Trump. Doesn't help Bernie Sanders. It doesn't help Hillary Clinton. So we'll see. We'll see. A lot of uncertainty. A lot of uncertainty. Ay, ay, ay. Well, speaking of DT, what'd you guys think of the Sarah Palin endorsement? We talked about that yesterday. At least touched on the fact that Sarah Palin could be giving an endorsement to Donald Trump. We went off the air before that happened, but it happened. Yes, it happened. And it was funny. I mean, listen, I am a recent convert. Remember, those of you who are new to the show, this will be a surprise. Those of you who are longtime listeners already have heard the story. I used to be a Democrat. That's why, when I talk about Trump and I talk about his appeal to Democrats and people that normally would never vote Republican or had a bit of that Republican in them, but it would take something happen in their lives or a person to push them to change, to draw the Republican out in them. And that's what Trump did to me. And if he does it to me, there has to be other people that it was done to. I'm not the only person in the United States. Come on now. I always had that Republican streak in me, but I grew up in a very liberal household. I was in a business constantly fed liberalism. Constantly. Even though there was a huge, huge conservative fire inside me. So as I got older and I changed professions, I changed everything about me, my relationships, where I lived, just everything. The Republican fire burned even brighter. Look at that, kind of rhymes. Kind of like Sarah Palin from yesterday. I'm rhyming now. I'm rhyming. She was rhyming yesterday. She was. It was like a older white lady that was auditioning for like Salt and Pepper or something like that. Anyway, I digress. So I always had that fire, but who could get it out? Who could bring that fire out of me? I was never inspired by a Republican before. I never really was. I never really was. I tried. I would always try. But John McCain didn't inspire me. Mitt Romney didn't inspire me. Huckabee didn't inspire me. Rick Santorum didn't inspire me. George Bush didn't inspire me. They couldn't pull it out, but Trump did. And I've said this before, I think it's because he, forget the reality show star, because I never watched The Apprentice. I just never watched it. I don't like reality TV. I don't like that whole vibe because it's really not real. It's a work. Those of you who get sucked into believing it's real are very gullible. Rather it's the Kardashians, rather it's Real Housewives, rather it's Survivor, The Bachelor, all of those quote-unquote reality shows are a work. It's a work. It's real to an extent, but the things that happen, the situations that happen, are all planned. Do you understand that? Maybe at that moment, it's real. The conversation might be real, but everything is planned. It's kind of like when a cop leads a witness or leads a suspect. So tell me, did you go to that house? When you went to that house and you were in the house, I wasn't in the house. Well, let's say you were in the house. You were in the house. But did you? That whole leading is exactly what reality show TV is. All right, person A and person B, you're going to be at a clothing store. And person B, I need to talk to you for a minute. Okay, person A, you get makeup. All right, person B, at 2 o'clock when you're in the makeup store, I want you to go over to person A and tell them that their outfit that they just put on is ugly and it makes them look fat. Okay, here we go. So you have a setup situation and a conversation's going to take place. One person knows what's going to be said and now you film reaction, but ultimately it's all staged. So I never was into The Apprentice or things of that nature. I never got into the Donald Trump board game. I even missed him when he was in the WWE making guest appearances. The appealing thing about Donald Trump is being real and having dialogue with the American people that you can actually relate to. That when you see movies that depict a president or a congressman or a congresswoman or whoever, how Donald Trump talks to all of us on these shows is how they have the characters talk privately. And we always watch these shows and say, God, wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be real? Wouldn't it be more effective if our politicians talked real? Do these politicians really think the American people believe what they're saying when they talk in circles and they won't answer questions? And why can't a politician just come out and say what he feels and let the chips fall where they may? I mean, that vibe, that what was that movie with Warren Beatty where he played a politician that was it Bullworth? Wasn't that it, Bullworth? So we have yearned for that type of politician, and that's what Donald Trump brings. That's what he brings. And that's the appeal. That's the appeal. That's the appeal. And if it appeals to me and brought the fire out in me that was always there, but just needed to have that person bring it, then it has to be with other people. Those are just my two cents. Don't know if it makes sense to any of you, but in my world, it makes sense to me. All right, so let's talk about the Sarah Palin endorsement. Like I said, I was not a huge Sarah Palin fan. Wasn't a huge Sarah Palin fan. But I appreciated the vibe. I know I might get in trouble here, but I definitely appreciated the look. Very sexy. I think she created that sexy businesswoman. sexy businesswoman vibe into our American psyche. She kind of was a Trump before there was a Trump. She was the person that would speak to the American people kind of like you would see a actor on television in a political TV show or political movie. So it was real. It was authentic. She's got a completely kooky and crazy family. Teen daughters getting pregnant. Barroom fights. Just a very real family. Because let's face it, there's more families out there that are like Sarah Palin's than there are of a Mitt Romney or a John McCain or even a Donald Trump. More people can relate to the wild side of a family and issues and problems than that of a family where all the children are born with a head start, so to speak, get everything that they could possibly want, have the best of educations, and have the picture-perfect family from top to bottom. So Palin was kind of Trump before there was a Trump. And then throw in the hot businesswoman-looking vibe, and you had a perfect package. Now, preparation and getting Sarah Palin ready to be vice president was something that the establishment failed at doing. Because you can't say that Sarah Palin was any less qualified or less competent than, say, Dan Quayle. I mean, seriously. Sarah Palin just wasn't prepped. Sarah Palin was not prepped. The party let her down. And everybody that supported the Republicans in 08 were let down. Because the night Sarah Palin delivered her acceptance speech, talked about pit bulls with lipstick, they stole the thunder. Hell, they stole the election from Obama and Biden. They had the momentum. They had everything. Everything. But the party blew it because nobody prepped Sarah Palin properly. No one did. That Nicole Wallace obviously didn't like Sarah Palin because she was supposed to prep Sarah Palin. She was supposed to make sure that when she sat down and did interviews, she would have a basic understanding of what they were going to ask her, what they could ask her, and what they could try to slip her up on. The fact that Nicole Wallace and the McCain camp never vetted the reporters. Never got a general vibe of what they were going to ask. You think Hillary Clinton goes into these interviews cold? You think when she goes and talks to Chris Matthews, it's cold? You think when she's sitting there with Rachel Maddow, it's cold? Hell no. Hell no. When Sarah Palin did that acceptance speech, everybody wanted her. Everybody wanted her to be on their shows. And for them not to have a sit down with Katie Couric and say, all right, so give us a general vibe. What do you think? Katie Couric was going to say, oh, I'm not giving you a general vibe. Okay, well then F you. You're not getting the interview. We'll give it to Barbara Walters. Barbara Walters will give us a vibe. Give us a vibe. You don't have to give us a list, but give us a vibe. Well, I want to ask her, things that she reads. How does she get knowledge about what's going on in the world? She's going to be the vice president. What qualifications? What? Okay. Then they go back to Sarah and go, all right, Sarah, here's a vibe of what we think could go down. A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. That way, when Katie Couric goes, so tell me, what do you read? Sarah Palin goes, oh, I read everything. No, but like, where do you get your news from? Well, everywhere, all the media outlet. No. Can you be specific? That question was the thing that really killed her. That wasn't the only thing, but that was one of those huge, huge faux pas. And instead of being prepped, where Katie Couric said, so tell me the thing. Oh, Time, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, gosh, Katie, Washington Post, you name it, Newsweek, Weekly Standard, just all of them, or at least what I can get my hands on. Because I am busy raising a family, taking care of my retarded child. Boom, bang, slam dunk. But no preparation. No one prepped her. When she got hit with the Bush Doctrine, I didn't even know what the hell the Bush Doctrine was. I was like, what? The hell's the Bush Doctrine? Again, Wallace should have said, hey, there's a chance you could get asked about the Bush Doctrine. What's that? Well, here's what it is. Ba-ba-ba-ba-bum. No preparation. It's not Sarah Palin's fault. That's Wallace's fault. McCain's fault, that whole crew's fault. And that's what killed her. And it's a shame. It's a shame. Because she had it. She had it. But once that snowball started to roll and pick up momentum, an avalanche ensued. Think about it. You had Saturday Night Live creating a narrative. I mean, let's face it. Tina Fey became who she is because of Sarah Palin. Pre-Sarah Palin, Tina Fey was nothing more than a writer. She was a writer who was a bit player. She was a writer who would pop in and out of sketches. Maybe do the Weekend Update. No one cared about Tina Fey. No one cared about Tina Fey. But the Sarah Palin character was so good. And the political season was so hot. And the McCain people, Wallace and that crew, didn't get Sarah Palin prepped. So there was so much material for Faye and Saturday Night Live to work with. They created the narrative of this dummy, of this, let's face it, retard. I mean, just dressing like Sarah Palin actually made Tina Fey attractive. And she's not attractive. She's not attractive. And still to this day, the only success that Tina Fey has ever had and when I mean success, I'm talking about success has come because of the Sarah Palin sketches, which were basically every single week for close to a year. They destroyed Sarah Palin. And it's funny because would they have done it Democrat? Of course not. Of course not. Of course not. I mean, I watched liberals on MSNBC last night making fun of Sarah Palin. I watched conspiracy filmmaker Michael Moore make fun of Sarah Palin's clothes, make fun of Sarah Palin's hair. Imagine that. Imagine that. Liberals doing something that they condemn Republicans for doing. Republicans bad, liberals good. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, Sarah Palin has some juice left. How does she have juice left? Well, to Republicans, She is seen as a fighter, as somebody that is outside of Washington, somebody that beats to her own drum. Remember, Sarah Palin's gone rogue. Remember all that? Sarah Palin's gone rogue. She's doing what she wants. She's gone rogue. And Republicans respond to that. Matter of fact, she has campaigned for different senators, governors, and those people have actually won. In some ways, she's more successful than Bill Clinton as far as backing somebody and them winning. Ted Cruz took Sarah Palin all around Texas, and he eventually won his Senate seat. Joni Ernst took Sarah Palin all around Iowa, and Joni Ernst eventually won that Senate seat. So there's still some juice. There's still some juice in that MILF's tank. Still a little juice. Still a little juice in that MILF's tank. And I got to imagine Mark Levin and Roush Limbaugh were losing their minds. Got to imagine they were losing their minds, because it wasn't just Sarah Palin coming out in support of Donald Trump yesterday, but you also had the governor of Iowa coming out in a de facto way of supporting Donald Trump. Terry Branstad, he basically said, please, please, all my fellow Hawkeyes, I beg of you, please, anybody but Ted Cruz. So that was the same day as Iowans getting a little dose of Palin and her rhyming magic. She was awesome. The rhymes from Sarah Palin. I wish I had the clips. I was running around like a lunatic yesterday, and when she came on, I was not able to assemble the clips. But come on, if you're listening to this show, you definitely watched Sarah Palin. I'm going to get clips tonight just to sprinkle them in when we do our commercial breaks, because they're great. And it's just the rhymes she dropped. So you had Sarah Palin, you had Terry Branstad, and then you had the Duke. You had the Duke. You had he's I was going to say a dead endorsement, kind of, You had the Duke's kid. Yeah, John Wayne's kid endorse Donald Trump. And you know what was funny? It's the typical, typical liberal state-run douchebags that are on TV. Chris Hayes, when he was reporting on John Wayne's daughter supporting Donald Trump, when he was reporting on that and showing a clip of Donald Trump talking about John Wayne, he made a reference about John Wayne once writing, or somebody doing an article where they wrote a quote of John Wayne talking about black people and saying that he believes in white supremacy. And until black people can get their act together, they should be denied voting or something of that nature. Something of that nature. Here's Chris Hayes saying, oh, well, John Wayne. Donald Trump is talking about John Wayne. Donald Trump is getting an endorsement from John Wayne's kids or grandkids, whatever the hell they are. Well, John Wayne's a scumbag. And I kind of chuckled at that, considering Muhammad Ali did a whole bunch of interviews when he was young talking about hating white people and hating Jews. It's all over YouTube. You can find the clips. And yet, state-run media never seems to bring that up. State-run media never seems to talk about those clips, those videos, when they're invoking the love of Islam and Muhammad Ali condemning Donald Trump and his words. It's funny. I digress, but it's funny. So you have John Wayne dead, but I guess his voice still rages on through the grave. John Wayne. You got the governor of Iowa, and you got Sarah Palin doing her best raps, her best jingles. And they were good. Like I said, she was on fire with the rhymes. On fire. It was awesome. I would say, as an aggregate total, it was not exactly, a good day for Ted. Oh, I'm sorry, for Rafael Cruz. Remember, that's what we're calling him from now on, Rafael Cruz. Not a good day for Rafael Cruz. Because if you just had John Wayne, you say, ah, okay. If you just had Terry Branson, you would say, ooh, the governor, but I could kind of play with that a little. I could say he's part of the establishment. The establishment doesn't like me. I could roll with that. But then you throw in Palin. Put all those together, it's like a kick to the testicles. If I could say that, it's not a dirty word. It's kind of a kick to the testicles. kind of a kick to the testicles. Whew. Man, brutal. Totally brutal. Like, in every sense, just brutal. And now, you have Palin going on a little tour with Donald Trump. They're going on like a magical mystery tour. Now, again, Sarah Palin's a little rusty. She's a little rusty. But names were breathtaking. And, of course, when she said, no more pussy footing around. Our troops deserve the best. You deserve the best. He's from the private sector, not a politician. Now, can I get a hallelujah? That's awesome. Can I get a hallelujah? Ah, that was, it was just awesome. Can I get a hallelujah? And then she had this other great line. She said, are you ready for a commander-in-chief? Are you ready for a commander-in-chief who will let our warriors do their job and kick ISIS's ass? Oh, it's great. It was great. It was great. Oh. Oh, man. It was good. It was good. Kick ISIS's ass. And she screamed it. And then she said, these are like, here's one of her rhymes. The permanent political class has been doing the bidding of their campaign donor class. See, class. Oh, man. But the way she said it, campaign donor class. Oh, it's good stuff. It was good stuff. But her bringing out the fact that the establishment attacked Donald Trump. She basically talked in this speech, like I said, besides rhyming and talking about kicking ISIS's ass, which is pretty good. She said, I'm going to read this to you because I want to be correct. We need someone new who has the power and is in the position to bust up that establishment to make things great again. It's part of the problem. His candidacy, which is a movement, it's a force, it's a strategy. It proves that as long as the politicos, their titles and their perks, their media ratings, they don't really care who wins elections. Believe me on this, and the proof on this. Look what's happening today. Our own GOP machine, the establishment, they who would assemble the political landscape, they're attacking their own front runner. Now, would the left ever, would the DNC ever come after their front runner and her supporters? No, because they don't eat their own. They don't self-destruct. But for the GOP establishment to be coming after Donald Trump supporters, even with the accusations that are so false, they are so busted the way that this thing works. We, you, a diverse, dynamic, needed support base, they would attack. And now some of them are even whispering they're ready to throw in for Hillary over Trump because they can't afford to see the status quo go. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to be slurping off the gravy train that's been feeding them for all these years. They don't want that to end. That was a good line. Line. It was a good line. It was good. It was good. So we'll see how this plays out. I thought it was a big day in the Trump world. Again, not just for the single Palin moment, but for collective punches. Rather it was John Wayne, rather it was the governor of Iowa, or even Sarah Palin. It was all of them together. And I think that could possibly move that needle and push Trump to the front in Iowa. We'll see. We'll see. Palin and Trump are doing a rally as we speak. They will get more media coverage today. We'll see how this plays out. And of course, the conservative websites, the conservative talk show hosts are losing their minds. Levin and Limbaugh. It's good stuff.